We have ignition.
Okay, tonight is Sunday, the 18th of April, 2004. And the Sunday night speakers meeting of Narcotics Anonymous welcomes our first speaker, B.
Well, we don't have Chris because he didn't play here.
Okay, Chris is going first. B's first.
This will self-destruct in 10 seconds.
My name is Chris. I'm an addict.
It's pretty high-tech thing here. Wow, I came right on. I thought we were going to do the readings and chips. I was going to get settled in. I'm real grateful to be clean. I've had a really, I had a phenomenal weekend, and I want to thank, my guys for coming. Four of us here, we've been trooping since Friday afternoon. Jimmy and James and Jamal, we went to Triple J. We left Friday, and we went. Up north, I spoke last night at a big meeting and dance in Santa Cruz, and but we stopped and went to a meeting Friday night in Santa Barbara, and then made our way to Santa Cruz, got there late, and then we had a barbecue with some of the members of the fellowship there, Santa Cruz, and hung out and shopped and walked around, and then we had the meeting last night, and then we headed home tonight. And here I am, and I had a great time. And those are the kind of things that I think that we get to do. We stay clean, stuff that, I'm clean longer than I ever wanted to be clean. And I say that not joking, but seriously, because when I got here, it wasn't, my plans in this fellowship and staying as clean as long as I have, it definitely didn't, doing a weekend like that wasn't in the picture. It was an emergency situation. I just wanted to stop getting loaded, anything different, anything other than what I had. I've been clean a real long time, and these are the things that keep me centered. These are the things that keep me focused throughout all the, I got clean in 1989. I got clean August 14th, 1989. And for all the time that I've been here, coming up on, 15 years this year, if I remain willing, not if God is willing. Hey, Cheryl. And I got clean with Cheryl.
4 weeks.
I'm 4 weeks ahead of Cheryl. Cheryl and my story is that we were at a marathon meeting, and I was complaining about being too young in recovery, and how it's not going to work for me, on and on and on. And Cheryl was complaining about being too old in recovery and how it's not going to work for her. And coming up on 15 years later, we're still here. And we always giggle about that, and we always reflect on that, because, and that's the thing, like I was saying, is that I had no idea what you're in, I had no idea what my life was going to be, so I don't know if there's newcomers here. I don't know, no matter what, where you're at in your recovery, I do know that your story's not finished yet. I do know that you're right here.
I'm sorry.
I love B.
I'm sorry, I'm late.
There's coffee right there.
Well, I want it special to coffee.
I don't know what I was saying. So anyhow, I'm real grateful. I think if I could share any message, my love for Narcotics Anonymous, I hope it shows up the most in my actions. The way I carry, I want Narcotics Anonymous, and I want Narcotics Anonymous to show up in the most in my home. I want Narcotics Anonymous in my recovery and the spiritual principles that fuel these steps. I want them to show up on the way I treat strangers, when I'm driving in traffic, how I treat the waitress, how I treat, you know, when I pick up my clothes at the dry cleaning and there's no parking, and how do I act then? You know, it's real, you know, if you're a dope fiend, it's real easy to learn how to act and say and do all the things in Narcotics Anonymous to not draw any attention to you, to kind of just blend in. I mean, that was kind of the dope fiend that I always was, because, you know, I mean, it was so, you know, I mean, you know, being, you know, 11, 12, you know, I got clean, you know, I got clean when I was 14 years old. So being, you know, 12 years old and trying to and get high, you know, you just get high wherever you can, however you can, and you would find, and I had found myself in many different situations, in many different places. I didn't have one set of people that I hung around with, you know. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, it's not easy to get loaded, you know, when you're that old. But I definitely do know that I went out and I did do that. So, you know, when I got clean, I'm just real grateful, man. I'm just real grateful on where my life is, as you know, where it's gotten. I mean, you know, the longer I stay clean, like the more those cliches, they make sense, beyond your wildest dreams, and you know, all that kind of stuff. Because really, I mean, I live a life today. I say it, you know, and I say it. I say it, and it's serious. Is that I'm almost embarrassed on how good my life is. It's really that good. I have such an amazing life filled with, and I have some material things, and I have, you know, I mean, it that's kind of the natural progression. It, you know, if you work these steps and well, I think the natural progression to getting material things is that if you just stay clean, you'll come across some stuff. But the key to getting things is that if you work the steps, I think you're able to keep them. That if you apply these principles in your, you know, in all your affairs, you start getting new concepts and new perspective on what things mean to you, and you learn how to keep them, and you learn how to maintain these things. But the relationships, you know, like talking about these guys, you know, I mean, how blessed am I to have these people in my life, you know, because, you know, over the years of being here, over the years of staying clean, you know, and it's just part of my story. I can't change it. You know, I can't change the fact that I got here when I did, but I was so ready. I was ready before that. I mean, it really, if I took an honest look, I was ready before that. Desperate for anything and not having the resources to go to it, and that like the literature says, psychiatry didn't work, and the churches didn't work, and the therapists and all those things that my mother had attempted to change me. Why do you just act that way? You know, if you just didn't act that way, it would be okay. If you didn't hang out with those people, or if you didn't do those things. And all those other vehicles didn't work, and it was only Narcotics Anonymous that worked. And so, you know, when I got here, obviously, the difference is, you know, my disease, you know, it's a threefold disease, you know, and that's what the basic text talks about, being obsession, compulsion, and self-centeredness. And regardless of the clean time, you know, I got 14 years clean, and I'm still my worst enemy. I will still, at any given moment, at any given day, come up with some stuff that is so, that I could so quickly justify and rationalize and come up with, like, yeah, you know, and you know, the disease talks in your own head, in your own language, and it's kind of your own voice, so it makes a lot of sense, you know, and I sit back, yeah, that, you know what, he did do me wrong, you know, fuck him, you know, and he, you know, and, you know, you get going, and then, you know, the first thing the disease will always do, it will always go to what works, you know, the disease will always go to what works, and usually what works is the differences. If I could focus in on the differences, get away from the similarities, get away from how can this, you know, can I get a message from this person, but if I could start focusing in on the differences, then, you know, then I could separate. And once I get separated from that next addict, then I'm alone with me. And when I'm alone with me, I could really come up with some way out shit. And the whole time, like, agreeing, and it makes perfect sense. And then, you know, we use our recovery. I use my recovery, and I use your guys' cliches and your languages, you know, and all the stuff that you hear in meetings, I use that to separate me further from you. you know, and it really is, what happens is that it's the relationships that I formed in this fellowship that pull me out of that. You know, it's the relationships over the years of being clean, and relationships are work, and it's maintenance, and there's some maintenance involved, and there's some work that goes involved, and you have to do these types of trips, and you have to do that, and these are the things, you know, these are the priceless moments. You know, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the ride up to Santa Cruz and doing that and speaking and fellowshipping and laughing and genuine laughter. You know, genuine laughter, not that like disease, you know, and then right back to the madness and the insanity of getting some and figuring out ways and means to get more. Because when I got here, that's what it was about. It was, you know, ways and means to get more. And I had said that prayer, that, you know, that basic addict prayer that people talk about, you know, just that, please, God, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to get loaded anymore. I don't want to do this anymore, as you're on your way to doing it. As you're there, as you're getting high, praying for something other than what you're at, just wanting to be able to go home. Just want, you know, my feet, my shoes, my socks were sticking to my feet. I hadn't washed in weeks, you know, and that wasn't in the cards. It wasn't the way it was supposed to be. You know, I knew that was, you know, I remember waking up at a house and not knowing where I was, and I hadn't been home in months, you know. And I remember I was walking down, you know, I'm from the valley. I was walking down DeSoto Avenue. My junior high was right there, and I'm all alone. And you know, my hair was, you know, I didn't, you know, it didn't even cross my mind to shower. It wasn't even, you know, I had a beanie on. I just put more grease in my hair to slick it back, and I pulled the beanie down, and I put on those dirty ass socks, you know what I mean? And I had, you know, dirty shoes, and I remember I was all alone walking south on DeSoto, and across the street was my junior high, and it was early in the morning, and I was all by myself. Once again, you know, hopeless, and then I see across the street is my junior high, and all the kids are going to school, and they're laughing, and they're clean, and they're showered, and I'll never forget it. They were walking with girls, and they were smiling, and they had their book bags, and two guys were throwing a football, and they were joking around, and I remember wanting to be able to do that, and I remember seeing people that I knew across the street, but the disease had at that point in my life had already robbed me of that. That ability to go and do those normal things was gone. And I remember just feeling like that, just that big, and feeling so hopeless, and feeling like, you know, wanting anything but not knowing where to go to get anything different than what I had. And I remember pulling my beanie down even further. It was like, you know, just the kind of the way I felt. Just I wanted to curl up underneath a rock. You know, and you know, I haven't felt like that in a long, long time. You know, Narcotics Anonymous works best when we try and adapt our lives to Narcotics Anonymous, not when we try and have Narcotics Anonymous adapt to our lives. You know, there are some simple things that have been working since 1953 when this program came around. And those things have worked and will continue to work. And that's a lot of meetings, that's sponsorship, that's reading the literature, that's developing a relationship with a higher power, you know, fellowshipping, you know, meetings, commitment, service. You know, understanding that proper service is doing the right thing for the right reason. I've always gotten those mixed up. I've always had good intentions, but the results were always screwed up. Or, you know, I was doing the right thing, but my motives weren't sound. You know, service is doing the right thing for the right reason. If I can conduct my life like that, inside the rooms, outside the rooms, you know, it's like, you know, it's that thing of just showing up and doing the next right thing. And that's what, and see, this is my experience, strength, and hope, and I believe 100% the program is in the literature. The program is in the readings that we hear at almost every meeting I've gone to since 1989, and in Who's an Addict, I don't need to, it defines the problem in Who's an Addict. And they say that the first step towards a solution is understanding and acknowledging what the problem is, and the problem is my disease. The problem is that we live to use and use to live. The problem with active addiction is that the end results are jails, institutions, and death. And so that's why we read it at every meeting, because we need to hear that over and over and over and over again. And understanding, you know, the reading, why are we here? You know, that's simple, because I'm not all there, you know what I mean? That's why I know I'm here. You know, that still, like I said, with all, you know, with years clean, you know, with the ego that I have that will tell me, oh, you know, you've worked the steps and you got X amount of clean time and you speak over here and you speak over there and, you know, what do you need to do that for? What do you need? You still need a commitment, you know? And that's what I'm saying. I hope my passion, my dedication to Narcotics Anonymous never stops, you know? I was, not bragging, but the you know, last in April, you know, my home group, we went over, and you know my home group gets over at 9:45, and then we went over the car, you know, and you know, we would do three or four, you know, motions on the conference agenda report after me. I'm getting home at 11:30, you know, and I didn't do that because I did that because that's the way I was schooled in Narcotics Anonymous. That's what you're supposed to do. You know, I didn't do that for any rewards other than that I care about Narcotics Anonymous. You know, that, and I was taught that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And that, that in order to stay here, you know, those words that you hear, they start making more sense the longer you stay clean. Spiritual discipline, dedication, desire, you know, passion, vigilance, you know, rigor, staying like that, because I want to maintain the life that I have. You know, my life is, I mean, it's, and understanding that everything that I have, everything comes from Narcotics Anonymous. Everything that I have, material, it's all on loan from God. But anything that's ever been anything that's substantial, that was worth anything, has come from Narcotics Anonymous. And you guys have taught me how to do it. I came here completely helpless, with no skills, no tools on living. I was just a punk kid, dope fiend. You know what I mean? That's all I was, and I came in and I have this life that's just, it's absolutely incredible. You know, and I learned it in these meetings. I learned in Why Are We Here, those readings, in what we read, and what is the Narcotics Anonymous program. I love that reading, because in that, you know, probably single-handedly my most favorite line of Narcotics Anonymous in any of our literature is regardless of age, you know, race, religion, lack of religion, creed, sexual identity, sexual preference. You're welcome to Narcotics Anonymous, and no one could tell you to leave, because I've always wanted to belong to something like that. And it wasn't until I got to Narcotics Anonymous that I was able to belong to something like that. You know, we read it every meeting. You know, I hear newcomers say it all the time. You know, I don't understand how it works. You know, I don't understand how this thing works. It's a 12-step fellowship. It's a, you know, in how it works, we read it every meeting. There's 12 steps. You know, I was sharing last night, you know, like coming to Narcotics Anonymous and not working all 12 steps is like going to the dope man and saying, give me the best of your bunk, you know? I want all the cut shit. I want no pure. I just want, give me all the cut. It makes no sense to come here and not work all 12 steps. You are completely cutting yourself off from where, that's where the miracles come from. That's where the 12 steps say that you will have a spiritual awakening as a result of working these 12 steps. That's past tense. If you work 1 to 12, you will get to 12, and your spirit, you know, you will have that spiritual awakening. You know, you're cutting yourself off. If you come here and you're working steps to get phased up in a program, or you're working steps because, you know, all 12. Give yourself a break to work all 12. You know, because you got to understand, you know, I mean, I believe I believe that was those were written by God. I mean, you know, I mean, that's my, you know, divine, I think, is the word that comes to mind when I think about the steps, and I think about the order of the steps, and I think about how perfect they work and the synchronicity involved in the steps, and 1 to 2. I mean, imagine if Imagine if you had to make your amends first. How many people would never work the steps? If the ninth step was the first step, and you came in here and you had to start making amends, and you know, there's a process building up to it, and giving yourself an opportunity to do that. You know, my friend Mike, you know, always says, you know, sometimes the steps are something to take our mind away from the obsession in our head, so God could get in there and kind of create and kind of, you know, put the pieces back together. You know, because really it's the steps are the answer. The steps are the solutions. You know, I got sponsees in this room tonight, and really that's the answer. You know, they're going through stuff. The answers are in the steps. You know, I'm going to help you. I'm going to share my experience, Drake, and hope with you as best as I can. I'm going to walk. I will speak and talk to you until we exhaust it. You know, until we're completely exhausted. But the solutions are in the steps. The solutions are in those principles, those indispensable principles that they talk about in How It Works that we read at every meeting. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. It says with those three indispensable principles, we're well on our way. I've never been well on my way anywhere. But it says, you know, those indispensable principles, principles that I cannot do without. You know, I have to have those principles. And it tells you that what will defeat you in your recovery, what's gonna take you out of these rooms, is when you come in here with an attitude of indifference or intolerance. When you say, man, I don't need to work the steps, or service isn't for me. You know, that's for them. You know, that's not for me. But the formula has been working. The formula's been working for a long time. Get with, you know, ask, you know, like, you know, I love this fellowship. So, again, I get with the old timers. I ask them. I've talked to Bob. I've asked him what it was like and how it was, and it was the same formula then. It was the same formula in the 50s, the 60s. It was the same formula, a lot of meaning, step work, caring and sharing, you know, service, going to any lengths, never refusing an NA request. You know, those are the things that have worked and will continue to work. You know, the traditions, we read it at every meeting. You know, I love the traditions, you know, and like it says, because, you know, when I first got clean, I didn't have the back page. But the back page says, you know, the traditions protect us from the internal and external forces that could destroy us, you know. We have to respect those traditions. I have to come in and understand that anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions. Understand that when we come in here, what your titles are out there, aren't applicable in here. That when we come in here, we're addicts, and it's about trying to get better. You know, no matter what you do out there, you know, all those things, they don't apply in here. What applies in here is that you're an addict seeking recovery, and the solutions are here. You know, and that's what I take from anonymity, that we level the playing field, that there's no, the highest position you get in Narcotics Anonymous is clean. It doesn't matter where you speak, it doesn't matter what commitment you have, it doesn't matter what committee you serve, that the highest position you could get is clean. And, you know, as addicts, we forget that. You know, we get this, you know, we have, you know, these egos that get out of control, and we forget, man, we're dope fiends. That when I got here, I wasn't trying to, you know, be a chair of a meeting, or I wasn't trying to be I didn't want to be a speaker. I didn't want to serve a group and have these high positions and be, you know, do. I just wanted to be clean. I just wanted anything other than what I had, and it made a little sense, just a little, that to stay clean, to go to a meeting every day and don't use in between. I said, okay, I could do that. And I let God take care of the rest. And I just, you know, and I just kind of jumped in, and some things I fought and some things I didn't, you know. But those are those readings that we hear all the time just for today. You know, it drives me up the wall when we're in meetings now. And it says, you know, in one of the readings, in Why Are We Here, it says, most of us realized we were sick people. And then it yells out, sick. You know, first of all, it says most of us realize we were sick. So we're talking past tense, you know, but, you know, everyone wants to, like, flaunt their sickness, like it's a badge, like I'm sick. And you know what I've learned in Narcotics Anonymous is that, you know, and I heard it at a meeting, and I had, you know, what you think about the most will be your higher power. So if you think about your sickness over and over and over again, you're going to fucking stay sick. And just for today, it doesn't say, just for today, our thoughts are on our sickness. It says, just for today, our thoughts are on our recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. That's where my thoughts need to be. You know, shit, man, you know, I got to be careful what I put in my mind. You know, I got a desk job, man, so I got the, you know, the fucking internet is dangerous sometimes, man. I look up, it's like 6 hours later, you know what I mean? And I'm, you know what I mean? I got to be careful what I put in here. I got to be careful what I'm thinking about, you know? And the right place for me always to be are my thoughts or on my recovery. You know, if I'm thinking about how my sponsee's doing, I'm okay. If I'm thinking about, you know, what my sponsor's up to, hey, let me give him the buzz. Or I haven't called her in a long time. Let me call her. I wonder how she's doing. Or what meeting are, you know, taking care of my own, you know, my own responsibilities. If I'm keeping my thoughts there, it's going to be a good day. But, you know, I could get, you know, years clean, I get caught up in here and, you know, obsession, compulsion, self-centeredness. The obsession is a fixed idea. Oh, man, don't let me get a fixed idea. Because once that, the key word is fixed, because once it gets in there, it's locked in there. And it's like, you know, I'm dialed in. Once I got that fixed idea, I'm dialed in, whether it's to go gamble, whether, you know, get loaded, whether, you know, what's her name, or I need to buy this, or I need that, you know what I mean? It will take over. It's a threefold disease. That's phase one, and then the compulsion is acting out on that obsession. The compulsion is a story I always tell, but it's the it's the best definition, and this happened in recovery. When I was at a meeting in Temple City, and that's really far, somewhere east, and I still don't really know how to get there, but I know that it was a late night meeting, and I was sitting there, and, you know, she walked into the room. You know, I had about 5 or 6 years clean or something, 7 years clean, and she walked in the room, and she was, oh, Lord, you know what I mean? Bring a tear to a glass eye, right? So she walks in, and, you know, you know, I was just, wow, you know, that this, here she is, she's in recovery, this is the one I've been looking for, you know what I mean, and everything. So I got this, the obsession is brewing, right? And by the end of the meeting, it's locked in, right? So then the compulsion is that over the next course of the next 2 to 3 weeks, I'm calling everyone I know who lives remotely in that area, and I'm trying to do research on her. And my sponsors don't remind me, that's not research, that's stalking. So I'm stalking her. She doesn't even know I exist, but I know where does she go to meetings, and who's her sponsor, you know, in the name of recovery, right? Because I got clean time now, so I know how to spew some shit, right? So I want to get to a meeting where she's at so I could share, so, you know, I could say something real heavy, and she'd be like, wow, you know, he's heavy. And I could go, hey, I'm Chris, by the way, and, you know, so that's what, you know, I'm doing all this research to do that, you know. I know no one uses their recovery for that, you know. But anyhow, so, you know, that's my goal, and I'm doing all this research, and I'm doing it, and the third part of this disease is self-centeredness. The third part of this disease is this way out, this self-centeredness that sinks in. It's all about me always. What can I get out of it, and how is it going to benefit me? And I'm doing this, so, you know, I finally get, you know, I get up to Temple City, I run into her, and then, you know, then it's like, you know, then I'm too scared to even go say hi to her, you know what I mean? So then it's like I go back to the same meeting, you know, a week later. I live in the valley, you know what I mean? I'm driving out to Temple City, you know, 3 days a week, you know, and I'm like, where the fuck is Chris at? I go and meet her, I finally introduce myself. She's got, you know, she's engaged, has like 2 kids. She doesn't meet the picture that I had. You see, I'm an addict that lives in here, so I create things. You know, I just, you know, hey, you know, you don't know yet, but this is the way you're supposed to be, and this is the kind of job you're supposed to have, and if you don't have it, it doesn't fit the picture, and if it doesn't fit the picture, then we're all out of line, and you just got to fit the picture. And with years clean, my biggest problem to this day will always be trying to control and manage situations that I have no control over. I still do it in all areas of my life, and from relationships to, you know, if they would just act this way, it would be okay. You know, and that's the serenity prayer. That's what the serenity prayer is talking about. Knowing what I can and can't change. I cannot change people, places, and things. but I could change me. But it always seems that all my focus is on things I can't change. And it's always after my ass is, I come back to the meeting with arrows in my ass, wounded again for doing the same mistake over and over again, do I realize that what I was doing is that I was trying to change things that I can't change, And the end of the serenity prayer is the wisdom to know the difference. And that's what it's all about, is trying to, trying to stay in tune with what I can change and what I can't change, and how to change it. And that's what I'm grateful for the most, and I'll say this and shut up, is that that's what I'm grateful for the most about Narcotics Anonymous, is that a solution is here. I have the opportunity to pursue a solution. And even sometimes, because sometimes it feels like you're not in the solution. Sometimes the best thing you could do is just be. Sometimes when the feelings are so, they're almost, unmanageable, you feel like you're going to, like, faint from feelings, and the concept of feelings aren't facts, and that they're going to pass is so far out of the spectrum that you can't even, it's not even there. Sometimes the best thing you could do is just be. The reality is that in Narcotics Anonymous, I can't come here any longer and say there's not solutions. My life, the realities of my life prove to me that there are solutions and miracles that happen in Narcotics Anonymous. That's the reality of my life. That if I look around, I take a look at my relationships, and I take a look at the true freedom that I have, that, I wake up and I love where I live. I wake up, I love where I work. I spend as much, as many hours as I spend at work, I love it. I would have it no other way. That's what Narcotics Anonymous has taught me, is that if you have the power to change your situations, change your environment through the help of these steps and God. Show me, I don't use my addiction as a crutch that I'm powerless and I'm just going to sit here and be, and this is my lot in life and this is just the way it's going to be. Show me an addict that works the steps and I'll show you an addict who's been empowered. Show me an addict who works the steps and tries to practice these principles on all their affairs. I'll show you an addict who could start making some good decisions. Especially, it always helps when you run it by your sponsor too. But I wanted to thank you for having me out, and thank you for letting me share.